All right, Craig, thank you. 6:06 on the Central Coast on this Tuesday, May 14th, 2019. I'm Dave Congleton. Look who's here, the one, the only, Mr. Conservative Bob CB. How are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. How about yourself?
All right, pull that microphone a little bit closer to you. I know it's your first time on the radio.
It is, yeah.
You want to say anything about Tim Conway before we get to the serious stuff?
Yeah, just what a great actor. And we were talking during the break. I remember him. You mentioned his name, and I remember him from McHale's Navy. As a young child watching that show.
Yeah.
And just all the things that he did since then. He was a staple of Carol Burnett. Somebody told me that his license plate was 13 weeks, because any show that he ever got on his own could guarantee to be canceled in 13 weeks, and yet he always made somebody else's show very special.
Craig, you're a Tim Conway fan?
Oh, yeah. I even listened to his son's radio show down in L.A. Oh, yeah.
Is he hoping, still on KFI?
Yeah, I think so, and hoping that he would have his dad on sometimes. But even there was a show I watched called Yes, Dear, where he played the kind of absent-minded dad on that show, and he was hilarious.
Do you know about his son?
No, but
his son's a radio host. I think he's still on KFI.
Yeah, if I remember, if he still is. Yeah.
Was it Tim Conway Jr.?
Yes.
All right. Tim Conway Jr. is a radio host.
I'll have to listen to that. And I want to let people know I'm a fan of Kellyanne Conway. So.
Yeah, okay. All the Conways.
Yes.
How about Conway Twitty?
Yeah, he was great.
Bob and I are going to make it clear, neither one of us are tariff experts. But it's the big story in the news right now.
Right.
And Bob is a bona fide conservative, and you still believe in President Trump. He's still your guy.
Definitely.
All right.
Definitely.
More than Reagan? I'm just curious. How do you compare the two?
Different than Reagan, but both the right men for the job at the right time. So I'm looking forward to another 4 years of President Trump after he's reelected.
Could happen.
It's going to.
It could.
I was the one that called it on election night 2016.
You and
I said he was going to take it.
You and Craig both called it. And I'm admitting it could happen.
Oh.
All right. Here's the very latest. This is Washington Post. Senate Republicans expressed growing concern Tuesday that President Trump's escalating trade war with China is hurting their constituents in rural America, ratcheting up tensions between the White House and Congress on a signature issue. Some Republican lawmakers, increasingly frustrated with Trump, took the unusual step of openly criticizing a president from their own party. Quote, "I'm not sure if you talk to him face to face, he hears everything you say," said Senate Finance Committee Chairman Charles Grassley, who has emerged as one of Trump's chief critics on trade, and who said he planned to write to the president to explain farmers' concerns. Republican lawmakers also looking for ways to provide a taxpayer bailout to farmers, perhaps adding billions of dollars to a disaster bill that has languished in Congress for weeks. Anyway, Bob, let's just talk about this. How do you feel about what President Trump's doing with China?
So he's doing something that no one has really had the guts to do for decades, and that is taking on a country that has been allowed to do a number of things to their advantage and get to such a stage in the world market that the United States really is the only country left that can take them on and do some serious damage to their economy unless they come to the table and they start acting like a worthwhile, worthy trading partner. So I know that everybody, most people, don't like tariffs. Tariffs are going to, they raise costs of things, and we see how our markets react. The Dow took a nosedive yesterday, came back quite a bit today, but nothing like what it lost yesterday. Same with the NASDAQ. But if we don't take China on now, if we don't seriously do everything that we can to bring them to the table and hammer out an agreement that can be verified, that can be instituted to where they cannot cheat the way that they've been cheating over the last several decades, when is going to be a better time? So, not several years from now, when they have even more of the world economy
to deal with. Because some of these people are criticizing, and some of these are Republicans, Bob, they're criticizing Trump because they don't see any end game. They don't see when this stops, and they don't think that Trump has a plan.
Okay. So we don't know when it stops. it stops when it stops. When we go to war with a nation, we don't know when it's going to end. It ends when it ends. And similarly, we are at war with China in this respect. We have a country that steals our intellectual property, that dumps product on us at such a reduced rate that it causes our productivity to drop. We've lost millions of jobs in this country to China, the jobs themselves to China. And then you take away the jobs that would have been created to support those jobs in this country that don't exist. We can't keep going through this. So when we get to the end, we'll know when we get to the end. But just like when on December 7th or December 8th, when President Roosevelt asked for a declaration of war on Japan in 1941, did somebody say, well, what's the end game? When are we going to be done with this? No, it was, you know what, let's take care of this. And folks, so we've got to take care of this now.
You compare it to a war.
In a certain way, it is. It's not a get out and storm the beaches type of war, but this type of an economic war has to be won by us.
Some fallout, though, if I may. iPhone 10X could end up costing $160 more because of the tariffs. There are price hikes expected at Target, Costco, Home Depot, and Walmart because the importers are going to pass on some or all of the tariff to the consumer, and that will become much more readily apparent and harder to mask. I mean, we agree that consumers are going to be paying. Trump tries to claim the Chinese is paying the tariffs, but you and I are going to be paying these tariffs, right? Can we agree on that much?
We are going to be paying it to a certain extent, yes. All right. We are not going to be held and not have to deal with this on a financial aspect in our own homes and our own businesses. We're going to have to deal with this. I for one, now I don't have a plan to buy a new iPhone, but I might, who knows. But if that's what I have to do for us to win this war, then I'm willing to do that. And I think a lot of Americans feel that way. They see this threat.
What about the farmers? We already spent $15 billion bailing them out. Now Trump wants another $15 billion. That's $30 billion.
Right.
We're creating a welfare state.
Well, temporarily, we are. We are assisting the farmers until we get past this. Again, the question is, if we don't do this now, when are we going to be in a better position to do this? Our better position was 20 years ago or 10 years ago. We're past that. We can't do anything. Today is the day we've got to take action, and President Trump is doing it, and he's doing it the best way he knows how, because with the way the Chinese economy is not doing as well as it has been in the past, and now getting hit with this, we're hoping that they're going to be the first ones to cry uncle.
But it sounds like, Bob, he's being challenged by some in his own party.
And that's new? How?
Well,
he's always challenged by somebody. That's the thing about the Republican Party. We actually challenge our leaders.
This is Grassley and McConnell. These are two pretty influential Republicans.
Right. Didn't I hear something about McConnell and China a while back? Maybe I did. Something that he's got going with them. But never mind that. Trump's doing the right thing. You and I think we would agree that he's doing the right thing. And there is going to be some short-term pain. And folks, we have to be prepared for that. But the long-term gain is getting on and getting China on an equal footing with us rather than, well, for example, some of the stuff, cars, for example, China exports cars to us. We charge 2.5% tariff.
Right.
We export it to them. It's 25% tariff. Now, how many of our cars are we going to sell with a 25% tariff on them? Hardly any. China cuts out certain markets that they don't even want in their country. They steal our intellectual property. It is estimated that China is the number one player in the $600 billion theft of intellectual property. They take a majority of that. They copy our products, they sell the products at less money, and where does that leave us? Where does that leave us with our manufacturing, with our jobs? We go in the hole on that.
Conservative Bob on this broadcast. We'll welcome your phone calls as we continue. I'm Dave Congleton. This is AM 920, FM 96.5 News Talk, KVEC. Stick around. Let's take a phone call for Conservative Bob. Tom calls from Napomo on KVEC. Hi, Tom.
Good afternoon, David.
Hi, Tom.
Bob?
Yes, sir.
You're right on, but you're being too gentle.
I'm being too gentle.
You're being too gentle.
Well, nobody's ever accused me of that before.
When I say we, I mean all of us. We have screwed up in the last 20 years. We have been going an easy road. We've been getting the benefit of really cheap stuff that, and China made everything. So we just did it.
Right.
And we've decimated our country, our manufacturing, everything. And it's a horrible mistake. The fact is, if we don't do this now, it's going to be worse in the future. We should have done this 15 years ago.
Right.
Or maybe 20 years ago. That's what we should have done. We didn't, because people were kicking the can down the road. This is hard. I'm taking it in the shorts personally. But everyone needs to realize that this is very, very necessary. Now, everything at Walmart isn't going to go up 25% in price. This 25%, it's going to be spread out over the importer, over the retailer, and prices are going to go up a little bit at Walmart. So don't, you know, panic or anything like that. But yeah, prices are going to go up. They are. It's not going to, you know, really hurt you, and you're not going to be able to, there's things you aren't going to be able to get. But is your cell phone going to be more money? Maybe.
Yeah, the question is, why aren't we making the cell phones here? That's the big question.
Sovereignty. We are going to have sovereignty as a country, and it's necessary.
Why?
We can't be beholden to others.
Why?
Because others will take advantage of us then, and it will be bad. It will be bad, and it will be ugly. Now, this is specifically to the farmers. To the farmers, the farmers' wives, and the farmers' families. If you sell all your crop to one person, whether it be a broker or whether it be a domestic user or someone in another country, that's a big mistake. Putting all your eggs in one basket is always stupid. Just plain stupid. It's irresponsible. It puts you at risk. It puts your family at risk. Yeah. And it puts everyone that depends on you at risk.
All right, calm down.
Don't do it.
Calm down. What about the $15 billion bailout? You okay with that, Tom?
I don't know about it.
Well, we already spent
If we have to do it, we have to do it.
We did it once already. We spent $15 billion bailing out the farmers, and now Trump wants to spend a second $15 billion. So it's a welfare state for farmers.
It's a temporary fix until we get this under control. Hey, you know what, Tom? You make so many good
farmers.
Points. I really appreciate it.
I don't know about the $15 billion exactly. I don't know if it's 15, 14,
it's
or 15. 10 or whatever.
It's 15.
But to imagine that we don't need farmers and we can get away without doing it, doing something, is delusional.
So early on, Tom made my point, reiterated my point, that this should have been handled decades ago. You said 15 years. I said at least 20 years ago we should have handled this. But, you know, the thing is, you go into a lot of these places to buy something, you have a hard time finding something that's not made in China. And we like our cheap electronics. We like our cheap toys. We like this and that cheap. And so we have basically handed this, and like you say, we've handed almost our sovereignty to China and say, here you go, you know, you guys run with the ball. We need to have that back. Why are we buying iPhones that are made somewhere else? Why aren't we not making them here? Are they going to be a little bit more? Yes.
Yeah,
are we employing Americans? Yes.
Because we have to pay $15 an hour minimum wage starting next year.
Well, in California.
Let's
make them in Kansas.
Tom, anything else from you?
I think you've got the point.
All right, buddy. Thank you.
Thank you.
Michael's in Paso on KVEC. Hi, Michael.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Great,
hey,
Michael. Thank you.
Hey, you know, there's a lot of other countries in the world that make stuff. And, you know, I think that we need to lay the law down to the Chinese that we're not going to be chumps anymore. And when you're sending $500 billion, I think, what is that, $400 billion, $500 billion? We've got
over $500 billion. last year.
I mean, that is wealth of ours going to China to do what? To build up their military so that they can create problems in the south, in the Southeast China Sea or Southwest China Sea, wherever that's at. But the bottom line is, you know, we need to have a fair playing field. We need to have a level playing field. How do you do that? You know, the Chinese have been using slave labor in those camps that they call factories for years and years and years. Is that right? I don't think so. I think if we're going to have a level playing field, let's do that. I don't think we're trying to tell the Chinese we don't want to trade with them, but we're not going to trade with them and be chumps.
Right.
They're not going to rip us off.
Well, we've been letting them do that for decades now. It's time to stop it. It was time to stop it. But now we've got somebody in the White House that not only knows the danger, but he's willing to put his credibility on the line to get this problem resolved. And you mentioned about our U.S. dollars that go over there. When companies over there take U.S. dollars, the government takes those U.S. dollars away from them. They give them their own currency in exchange, and they give them a little bit of a percentage for that as well. And the Chinese government uses that currency to invest over in America and to buy up our stuff. So they're using our own money against us.
Michael, how long do we do this for?
Well, you know, we got to do it as long as it takes. I think the Chinese are in much weaker position than we are. I think that the American people have to have a resolve here. I think we do need, and this is out of character for me, if our farmers are getting slammed that hard, we need to help support them, bring them up, and pull them along. But here's the bottom line for me. It's not only the dollars. It's the intellectual property that they're stealing.
Right.
They are forcing our people to basically give up our, you know, the Chinese are hardworking, people. The Chinese people that I know, I have a brother-in-law that's Chinese. They're very industrious, hardworking people. But unfortunately, because culturally the creativity is coming out of the United States, it is preventing them from using their creative juices, and they're just stealing it from us. And that is totally improper. It's inappropriate. And we need to have as fair trade as possible. They need to be buying stuff from us. We need to be buying stuff from them. And it needs to be all good in that respect. But this is a one-way road, and it's got to stop.
All right, Michael, thanks for the call.
Yeah, great comments.
Let me just bring back... Washington Post, soybean farmers, pork producers, and a growing number of other agriculture interests across a range of states, including cherry producers, corn growers, and even lobster fishermen, have complained that they are collateral damage caught in the middle of the escalating trade battle.
I believe that. So should we help them out temporarily? I believe we should. Take it on while we can, because in a couple of years, it may not be a battle that we can win. This may not be a war that we can win if we go for another 3, 4, 5 years. We've got to take care of it now. And what he was talking about, the intellectual property, China will force companies who want to sell high-tech stuff in China to turn over the rights to that, to turn over the development to them, and they're able to steal that. Because you want that market. China has, what, 1.3, 1.4 billion people? They're four times the size of the United States. Markets want to get in there. Businesses want to get in there. What are they going to do?
Conservative Bob on this broadcast defending President Trump and his tariff policy with China. We'll go back to the phones after news, traffic, and weather. I'm Dave Congleton. Good to be with you this evening. This is the Dave Congleton Show, always your hometown radio talk show. My guest for the hour continues to be Conservative Bob. His name is Bob. He's a conservative.
Yes,
that's
sir.
All you need to know. Defending President Trump's decision to impose even more tariffs on China. Off the Stolberg Law KVC text line, David has a legitimate question for Bob. What American-made product or products would Chinese public want or need to buy in order to balance the trade deficit?
Oh, that's a good question. I don't know that anybody can answer that question in an hour. Obviously, we've sent a lot of our, or we get a lot of our electronics from China. We basically given up on that. We don't make things here anymore like we used to.
Yeah, but what would we make that the Chinese want is the question.
Oh, I see. Okay. Everything we make the Chinese want. They like what we make. The problem is when you put a tariff on there that's 25% or more, and this is what they're already doing before any of this started, that puts it out of the reach of so many Chinese people. That's why we're giving them $500 billion and they're giving us $150 billion.
But other than the agriculture products, what do we make that the Chinese want? Our cars?
Cars.
Our stereo equipment?
Cars are a big thing. Cars have the highest tariffs on them.
Our cars. You think the Chinese want our cars?
Yeah, the Chinese want our cars. We make great cars. For example, Ford Mustang, great automobile.
You know, in China, they ride mostly bicycles. They don't really drive many cars.
Those poor devils.
Dane's in Atascadero on KVEC. Hey, Dane.
Hey, Dave. And guest.
Hi, Dane.
Listen, one of the things, when I was, first of all, my father was worked at the Sears Tower in the 60s, so over 40. He's a men's and boys clothes designer for Sears.
Okay.
He did all the men's, boys, clothes design and patterns for them. When he was there, he dealt with, and he would go to at least once a month, to over 500 clothing manufacturers. You would be hard-pressed today to go to the South and find three clothing manufacturers. Now, where did they go? To China. When I was in Thailand, I was visiting there. All the merchants, believe it or not, were Chinese. They weren't Thai. They were Chinese. And they had every single type of clothes knockoff, every single kind of jewelry. They were the absolute copiers of the world of everything. Louis Vuitton, Patron. I mean, some of the stuff that they copied actually looked better than what the original people did. So
right.
Something has to be done about China. And they have taken a lot away from manufacturing, jobs, and it's got to be stopped some way.
So you think Trump's on the right track?
Absolutely. He's the only one who has finally said, hey, enough's enough. Look at, we want to, we're giving you how many billions of dollars, and you get, and what do we get from you? Nothing.
Right. Except a lot of theft.
We can't come sell anything to you, but hey, come here and we'll buy everything you got. You got to have a give and take. And I think he's absolutely right when he says, hey, enough's enough. We're going to make this a level playing field, and that's what has to happen.
I'm glad you called, Dave.
Exactly. It's so funny that, of all people, Chuck Schumer agree with the president on this.
I saw that.
That China is so far out of control that we've got to do something with them.
I saw that.
It's amazing how occasionally even somebody on the Democrat Party can get it right.
Holly's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Holly.
Hey, Dave. Hi, hey, Bob. How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
So I'm the manufacturer. You know, we have quite a manufacturing sector here in San Luis Obispo.
Yes.
And so I manufacture a product that's sold worldwide, and I have many friends here who do the same. We're in the music products industry.
Right.
And you know, I really hate the thought of, you know, you're talking about Chinese manufacturers here knocking off our products. Mine isn't knocked off, thankfully, but others are, and selling them cheaper here. And, you know, I do object to that, you know, there's hardworking American guys in our factories that are well paid and have benefits out of this.
Right.
But then I'm scratching my head on the hawkish nature of all of this, because what percentage of the business that China is importing is because our manufacturers nationwide as a collective have handed them the gigs to make our stuff?
Yeah, and a significant portion of it.
And the retailers like Costco or Walmart, you know. So I'm scratching my head. It's like, why are we blaming China? They're trying to feed 1.5 billion people and keep them busy. Yeah. You know, it's like there's no negotiation going on here, which I thought Trump was supposed to be good at.
Well, I think,
what hawkish nature? Am I ill-informed on something?
Hang on, Holly.
I think Trump put it right when he said, you know, you can't blame the Chinese for what they're doing because they're looking out for their people, but you can blame what we've done. And like you say, a lot of manufacturers decided, hey, it's cheap. We're going to have it done over there. Bring it back over here. Make a killing on the profit. And that part I agree with. Some people in this country have sold us out. But we, at this point, we need to realize this cannot continue. This is going to annihilate our economy if we don't take care of it, and we've got to take care of it now. So the thing that – go ahead, Dave.
No, I want Holly to respond to that. Holly, the argument Bob keeps saying tonight –
well, you're talking about something grassroots. You know, we tried up until, 1999 or something, we tried to look at the label and buy Made in America, but there are no Made in America labels out there, you know, I should say there's fewer.
Yes.
Fewer.
I'm Made in America, and as well as, you know, all the other people I know, you know, everything, American labor. So... I mean, there's a differentiation here between companies, you know, people like Huawei and whatnot, who are Chinese-based companies selling to us, and our people who are giving them our gigs.
Yeah.
And you know, this is a pattern that happened with Japan. We had to make our TVs. They turned around and made them better, and you know, they built quite an industry off of us hiring them as a manufacturing sector. Same with South Korea. So it's a pattern, but you're talking about 1.5 billion, a country, 1.5 billion people.
Yeah. All right, Holly, I appreciate the perspective. Thank you very much for calling in.
With Japan, I think it's two different stories. Yes, we allowed Japan to do a certain amount of things. I think China has taken it to the extreme with the theft of the intellectual property, with the way they dump product on us, with the way they do unauthorized copies and dump substandard and very cheap product on our economy. Japan ended up making extremely good products, and they were competitively priced with the United States.
We go to Bill in Shell Beach on KVEC. Hi, Bill.
Hey, guys.
Hi, Bill.
Hi, Bill.
Yeah, I heard economists talk about this is a war that China can't win, and the reason is we put a 25% tariff on them, and it equals, $200 billion or something like that? I don't know the number. They turned around and hit us with a tariff, or they're threatening it. And it's, you know, they can't really squeeze more than about $10 or $50 billion. Meaning there's a limit to how much they can squeeze us. It's kind of like with the Soviets. We basically played the table on Gorbachev, and he could no longer match us.
Yes.
He said, we're going to do Star Wars, and if you want to match us, it'll cost you your GNP.
Right.
And it's kind of the same thing. They can't stand up. If we hold together, and if we don't politicize this as if that wouldn't happen,
right?
They'll have to fold. They'll have to fold before we will. At least that's the way it made sense to me. I don't know this, but it made sense to me.
Bob?
Well, that makes sense, and I like the analogy with the Soviet Union, because for years they were really in decline, and Reagan basically put them on their last mile of that road. I know we are a much stronger economy, and we're gonna have some problems. We're gonna have prices that are higher than we want them to be. We're gonna see our markets fluctuate. We're all going to pay a price to take care of what we should have taken care of. And we're going to take care of it, and we're going to win in this because we are in a stronger position than China is. 5 years from now, we may not be in that position.
You support all this, Bill?
Well, except for that we could win because Trump has so many headwinds purely for politics. There are people that want to see him lose you know, as they say, they hate him more than they love America. And there are a lot of people that would love to see him whipped, and they're willing to take us down. I hate to say this, but that's some of our own, you know, fellow citizens.
That's true.
They'd rather see him take a big loss than have us win this thing.
They would like to see America fail along with him. Right. Yeah. That's not going to happen.
All right, Bill, thank you. Before the next call, Trump is running for re-election.
Yes.
He barely won the Midwest. He wants to be reelected. You think he's going to see his popularity go down in the Midwest?
I think that this problem is going to be resolved before the 2020 election. Well, I'm going to say in the next
we're
year,
win the
year
trade
and two
war?
And 3 months.
All
right. I think we're going to come out ahead of this enough to where people will say, yes, we are doing the right thing.
Let's go to Mark on KVEC. Hi, Mark.
Hello there.
Hi, Mark.
Hi, Mark.
So I have a friend, I should say, a question for your Republican friend, and that is, isn't free market economy, you know, everything the Republicans hope for?
We like free markets. We like free trade. It works when it's free trade. Have you studied what China does that is not free trade?
Let Mark make his point. Go ahead, Mark.
The point that I'm trying to make is that aren't American manufacturers doing exactly what the free market economy offers them with China?
To a certain extent, they are. You're talking about moving manufacturing from the United States to China.
And in the process, creating, you know, wealth for the 1%.
Well, certainly for part of the 1%, I would agree with that. I don't agree with moving our manufacturing, a significant amount of our manufacturing, because not only do you lose those manufacturing jobs, you lose the collateral jobs that go with that. I don't agree with what maybe I'm a different kind of Republican than you think I am, but I think the first thing that you think of when you're in this country is you think of what's best for this country.
I couldn't agree with you more, sir.
There we are.
And the thing is, though, is that I think you need to reconsider being part of the Republican Party, because that's a huge part of what they're about.
So
do you think I should go for?
What do you think of what Trump's trying to do with China, Mark?
I'm a very big anti-Trump guy, but on this point, I think that somebody standing up to China about trade is a good thing. And unfortunately, I think there's going to be a lot more pain to pay for certain segments of the population, but in this case,
yeah, I agree.
I'm with Trump to some degree.
Mark, I'm glad you called. Thank you. We'll come back for a final segment with Conservative Bob as we talk about President Trump and the tariff war with China. I'm Dave Congleton. This is Hometown Radio. Don't forget to start your weekday mornings off with First Look. Scott Morris, Scott Taylor, Andy Morris have you covered with everything you need to know to get you out the door from 6 to 9. I just want to remind you that Andy Morris is going to be at the Slow Chamber Expo tomorrow, and he will be checking in regularly throughout tomorrow's edition of Hometown Radio with live reports from the Chamber Expo. So if you're going tomorrow from 4 to 7 o'clock, look for Andy Morris. Say hi. And we'll be with you tomorrow from 3 to 7. Now, come on. You know you're listening. You know you want to talk to Conservative Bob. You know you want to talk to him. Well, this is the last segment, so if you want in, this would be the time to pick up the phone and call 805-543-8830, 800-549-5832. Bob is defending President Trump and his decision to increase the tariffs with China. As those come in on the Stolberg Law KVC text line, Bob, how about a retroactive penalty for the greedy manufacturers who left the U.S.?
Probably not a bad idea. And I know it surprises a lot of people to hear me say that, but I truly believe that if you're an American, you think of this country first. We have so many people, and we have people on both sides that do not think of this country. We have shipped our jobs overseas. They've created a lot of this mess. The Chinese are responsible for it, too. We need to take care of it.
All right. We go to Dave and Arroyo Grande on KVEC. Hi, Dave.
Hi, guys.
Hi, Dave.
Bob, this is very similar conversation probably maybe happened in the 30s when Japan was, we were buying cheap products from them and they were copying our military, and all they wanted back from us was iron and steel to build the fleet and their air force to hit us at Pearl.
Right.
I have nothing against the Japanese, but this was a long time ago, but it's very similar.
Well, it's funny you mention that, because I was just doing some reading on that recently, and we were scuttling a lot of our fleet at the time. We didn't feel that we needed it. And we're sinking ships while Japan's buying up our steel and making themselves strong for the upcoming war that pretty much everybody could see if they really tried. I think that's an excellent point.
David?
So I hope that we take a lesson and not get suckered again. We always seem to be just a little bit too late before something bad happens across the board.
David, what about the farmer? How much longer do we subsidize the farmer?
The farmers will be fine. They've been fine since the start of time here in this country. We got plenty of resources. I'm not worried about the farmer. I'm worried about... I'm concerned about our well-being in the world and being attacked, whether it be the South China Sea or wherever it is. They're trying to spread us thin, and I'm concerned about it. I think we need to strengthen our military greatly, and we can worry about, look at everybody. They're all heavy. You know, they're all eating well in this country.
Even
the farmers.
Yeah, but we're paying $15 billion to support the farmers. We're going to do it again. That's $30 billion we've spent because of these tariffs.
How much have we lost over the years because we didn't do this?
I don't know. How much have we lost?
I'm not here to talk about
hundreds and hundreds of billions. Trillions.
I know, but I take your point. I take your point, David. My question is, at what cost? That's all. I appreciate the dialogue as always.
Thanks, David.
Stan's in San Luis on KVEC. Hi, Stan.
Hi.
Hi.
I'll get right to it. I heard Trump, and I heard just Bob say right now that we want to bring manufacturing back to the United States.
Yes.
So that's why these tariffs are imposed, because then it will be an incentive for the people here to make stuff instead of relying on China. That's what his thinking is.
Right.
Well, that's a part of it.
I think it's flawed thinking, because let's say, let's say we have the manufacturing here and we pay people, $20, $25 an hour, and the same product can be made in China where they pay them $15 a day. The products that we make here will be very expensive compared to the stuff in China. And so when we sell our products on the global market, they won't sell because it would be too expensive. So I think that it's naive to think that we can build stuff here and compete with stuff that we make here on a global market. I think that's foolish. And if you just want to start a trade war, that when do we expect China to give up, to throw up their hands and say we give up? You know, what do we have to go through, a depression, and then when do we say that the trade war is over? When do we go back to the way it was?
When we win.
But how do you know that?
Okay, there's a couple things. First of all, for 150 years we built things in this country. We were very successful. We became the economic giant that we became by building things in this country.
And then corporations left the country and went overseas. The jobs went overseas.
The tariffs are only a small part that have to do with getting manufacturing jobs back. This more goes towards China's unfair trade practices and all the ways that they get things gamed on their side that are against what is in the best interest of the American consumer and consumers worldwide.
What's the best interest of the
American consumer?
The best interest of the American consumer is what's best for America.
Like cheap prices is what's
best. No, because then who's going to buy that stuff when there's no jobs because you sent all your manufacturing overseas? Do you think we're going to have... And then when they're stealing our technology as fast as we can come out with it, how are we going to compete with that? We've got to put a stop to this.
The unemployment rate is 3.8 or 3.6. There's plenty of jobs. And that's the system we've been working under. And there's the lowest unemployment in the history in the past 50 years.
Thank you, President Trump.
Well, you know, he's borrowing trillion dollars.
That's on the deficit.
Oh, I see. Right. Okay.
That's another show.
Now it's
Stan,
deficit.
Thank you.
Obama for 8 years, but now Trump's deficit.
Well, but keep that in mind. Stan, thank you. That's one of the reasons why the economy is so good, is that we've dipped into the deficit spending. We go to Mike in Los Osos. Hey, Mike.
Hey, guys.
I got a minute.
As far as subsidizing farmers, I am all for it. I think $15 billion is chump change. I think they deserve much more. When we choose to subsidize foreign countries and we choose to subsidize, let's say, bail out banks that caused the housing crisis in the first place with hundreds of billions of dollars, and we're printing money left and right, you know, I'm for the farmers. The farmers are actually producing something, working their hands to the bone. I grew up on a farm in the Central Valley. They're the hardest working people around. So if we're going to subsidize foreign countries and we're going to allow Apple and all these other like Amazon not to pay any taxes and outsource and do all this and that.
I got to jump in, Mike. We're out of time. Thank you for calling in.
What a great point. The money that we send overseas every year, and we're complaining about giving some of that money to our farmers
instead.
To get us through this until we are at the point where we can declare victory.
Thank you,
Mike. We have to do this.
Well, but welfare is okay.
I'm saying that temporary aid. I'm not calling it welfare. I'm calling it temporary aid until we get through this.
Good job, Conservative Bob. Thanks as always to all my guests and to Craig Hill and to you for listening. Have a great night. We'll see you tomorrow at 3:05. I'm Dave Congleton. Now, Oliver the cat, get out of my chair. I'm coming home. Good night.